Today's daf is Ksubis daf Tzadi Aleph. We are on Tzadi Amud Beis. To note, somebody pointed out to me that a few days ago was the, I didn't count up, but a few days ago was the 1,000th daf in Shas. So, I didn't count, but, we should all, keep being mechuzak and nitchazek, with each other and keep going to do the next 1,000 and the next 1,000. Aren't that many, dafim, but, keep going day by day. Baruch Hashem. Okay, we are on Tzadi Amud Beis. We will start a couple lines up from the bottom. Vahani Tanoi. Just to mention that the source that I mentioned at the end of Shir last night, I just wanted to read it because I went through it very quickly. The Shulchan Aruch mentions it's in Reish Chav Gimel. Then it's in Hilchas Brachas that if somebody's relative dies, as we know, the halacha is they have to say a Baruch Dayon Ha'emes, as the Mishnah says at the end of Brachas, Kishem Shem Mavarchin Al Atova Kach Mavarchin Al Hara. But if somebody got a huge Yerusha along with that relative dying, then they also say a Shechianu in that order, because, you know, that has to be the first reaction, is the, what the, happened to the relative, and the Mamela ones makes a Shechianu. But the Shaila was, that Rav Zilberstein asked, is, V'yishle his tapik, Mahadin kishemes aviv, v'hishir lo mamon, achishir lo gamkein chovos. He left him a lot of money, but he left him a lot of bali chovos to pay. U'bekesav azeh, yitzarech leferot achovos shel aviv. And with that money, he's going to have to pay the chovos of his father. Ha'im yivarach shechianu alo. Do you make a shechianu in that case? Meaning, do you say, because it is mine, or is it his? That's the shaila. So that's related to what we discussed, he quotes yesterday. And that is, when the end of the shir, we had, if the yarshim, the halacha is, that on a derabbanan level, we know the kazav of ksuvis banin dichrin, that only applies that the sons of each of the mothers get their portion of the nedunya that was brought into the marriage. They only get that if there is a dinar left of Yerusha that could be split up evenly, because the Chachamim didn't want to be oker, nachla, Yerusha daraisa for this takana. Sometimes the Rabbanan did. Sometimes the Rabbanan had no problem with knocking out a din daraisa, right? Shofar on Shabbos and the like. So why here all of a sudden the Chachamim say, no, we don't want to knock it out? So it could be that by shofar and lulav on Shabbos, that doesn't always happen. Like the Taz says, the Rabbanan don't have the power to knock out a mitzvah forever. So if it's a time when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, so they have the power to knock that out, because the following year Rosh Hashanah won't fall out on Shabbos. But here, if they would institute Ksubis Banan Dichrin, so then there would be a permanent knockout. Right, when would it not apply? Oh, only if somebody doesn't have sons from you're right, some cases might come up, but regarding certain people, certain relationships, it'll always, that's why the Chacham didn't want to be knocking it out totally, only if there is a dinar left. So the Gemara that we had yesterday is, okay, only if these are dinar left, so what's called left? What happens if they have a ksuba to pay off? That was what we discussed in the Mishnah. If there is a ksuba of some of the children have a ksuba to collect, their mother is a ba'alas chov of the father, and some have Yerusha to collect, so is that good enough? Is that good enough to be considered Yerusha? There's no other dinar left besides after paying the ksuba and their collection of the ksuba is banan dichrin. Is that good enough? So that's what we discussed at the end of this year yesterday. Whether ksuba na'as is mosa l'chaverta, whether it's considered that dinar. And the Gemara said, what about ba'al chov? Baal Chov, not a ksuba, but a different person. They're going to have to pay off a chov. So is that considered mosar? So what's the root issue? If the Yarshim have something, but it is earmarked for someone else, is that called mine? If I have it physically now, but it's not staying with me, is that called mine? Maybe that would be the same rules for Hilchos Shechianu. That was the question that Rav Zilberstein dealt with. You might say that it might be better and worse. Shechianu might have a higher standard. Even if you want to say halachically it's yours, and it's called Mosa L'Chaverta, you might say that for Shechianu, though, if you know it's going to leave in a week, you don't have the Simcha. And therefore, you cannot make a Shechianu. Shechianu is only when you're besimcha about something, not technically. Even L'Maisa, in terms of a lot of the brachas, in terms of new clothing, Bizman Azeh. Many times, we don't make a Shechianu. Why? Because we don't have the same type of Simcha that they did in the days of old. They buy less clothing. It means less to us, so it's very subjective. That type of Shechianu. So you might say, even if it's halachically yours, or you might say the opposite. You might say, even if halachically is not yours, but if you are involved, this is less likely, but you can be mechalik between the contexts, right? If you technically are going to deal with it, and it's with you, so maybe that's enough for Shechianu, even though halachically is not yours. So you might go in either direction, but that was the discussion of Rav Zilberstein in the in the end. So he says, Ulam at the end, Bebrecha Shechianu, he bracha Shemavarchan al Simchas Alev, Vavsha Beyerusha in Lo Simcha, Mikomakam Yachol of Arch Shechianu, Dein Bracha Zu Tulia Besimcha, Badarish Magielo to Elas Vimenu. Maybe Shechianu is not only about Simcha, so he is noted to say that possibly you would say the Shechianu in this case. But we did note, and that was that the last point we made yesterday, that is that you might even be mechalik between these two. The two cases of Aksuba Nasis Mosul Chaverta or a Balchov. That was the last point we suggested. We said maybe the machlokas is, Rabba said, maybe Balchov, everybody agrees, it is Moser. Kipligi Baksuba. What's the difference? Both of them are leaving the Rishus of the Yarshim. The answer is, at least by Ksuba, why is there a machlokas there? Because it's not like Balchov. Balchov, it's leaving their Rishus. So for sure, it's Moser. They have to pay off this loan, Prius Balchov mitzvah, and therefore that can be considered part of the Yerusha that they're all paying off. But Ksuba, their mother's going to keep it. Is that really a Prius Balchov? That's the Ritva. The Ritva says that's goof of the machlokas here. Whether you would say in this case, that's the difference between Ksuba and Balchov. Benana savar harayu kachov and asa moser. Rebbe Kiva savar ena kashar chov. Lefishi yecholim b'nei shniyel omar anu harim motzi in shtar chov in efron. Vein kan aleinu mitzvahs priyas balchov. Ein kan achla daraisa. Right, so it depends whether the, what you're doing is a mitzvah or what you're doing is, keeping it and just the mother is going to get it. That was just a couple of, strings that we didn't, finish from yesterday. Okay, so now we're up to Vahani Tanoi, about six lines up from the bottom. Says the Gemara continuing, Vahani Tanoi, the Tanoi that we just spoke about earlier, Kiani Tanoi, are similar to the following Machlokes Tanoi. The Tanya, as the Braisa says, as we continue discussing the sugis of Subim Banin Dichrin, and where you have various Yarshim that are competing. That's what this parak is about. Different Mishnayos about various Yarshim competing for the rights of the property. So the Tanya, the Braisa says, Nasa, Sarishon of Amesa. The first man and woman are married. The woman dies. Vamesa. Nasa Zashnia, the man marries a second woman. Umesu. Right, the case of the Mishnah. She dies, and then she marries somebody else, and then he dies. Ba'in Baneha Shelzu, La'achar Misa, Vinalok Subasimon. This one's children come to take their mother's ksuba. Who is this one's? So, Havamina, we think now, Rashi on the second to last line, we're talking about the Bnei Shnia. We think we're talking about the second group of Yarshim. They're coming to take their mother's ksuba, because that's Ba'alas Chov, and they take it without regard for the first wife's Yarshim. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Im Yesha Moser Dinar, Elu Not Luxubas Iman, Elu Not Luxibas Iman. If there is a Moser Dinar, then they can take each their Ksubas Iman, Ksubas Ban and Dechrin, Vim Lav, Chogim Bishav, and if not, if there isn't a Dinar left over, then you forget the whole Takana, and you just split it up equally, Yerusha de Oraisa. So, my love, Bakam Ivligi, what is this Machlokas? Between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon. The Tanakama says the second Yarshim take, and Rabbi Shimon says, well, it depends if it's Moser Dinar. So Demar Savar, so we think it's this Machlokas. Achas Bachayev, Achas Bemoso, Yeshlem Ksubas Banedichrin. We think that one Tana holds that Ksubas Banedichrin does not only mean if both of the women died before the husband, but even if one died before and one died after, where one of them is coming as a Baal Aschov, and one of them is coming as a Yoresh, you might think that would cause arguments, right? Asila and Suye. The Gemara said, no, we still say that there is Ksubas Banedichrin there. Umar Savar, no. Achaz Bachai, Achaz Amoso, and Lem Ksubas Banedichrin. Then there wouldn't be Ksubas Banedichrin. Maybe this is Gufa, this Machlokas Tanoim. The issue that came up yesterday, parallel. So the Gemara says, lo, no, you do not have to say that. Lo, the kuliam, again, there's nothing forcing you to say otherwise, but that's what the Gemara always does. That we don't want to be boxed in to saying that the machlokas has to be about one issue. It could be about these three other issues that we're going to suggest. So lo tekuliyam achas b'chayv achas b'moso yeshlem ksubas banedichrin. Maybe everybody would agree that the Chazal instituted the takana even in the case of chshash asila insuye, the case of achas b'chayv achas b'moso. V'hacha, but what's the machlokas here between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon? B'dinar mikarkoi kamiflagi. The machlokas is whether the dinar that needs to be left over to be considered Yerusha has to be from karka. Or even metaltalin. We know the ksuba is only leaned on karka. on a as we said earlier in the Masechta. So what about here? What about the Dindarabanan of Ksubas Banan Dichrin? As long as you have a diner left over, so could that even be metaltalin? That's the machlokas. Mar savar mikarkoi in metaltoi metaltalilo. One says that if it's from karka, fine, that's considered dinar. Metaltalilo, that's the Tanakama. Umar savar afilu metaltalino. And Rabbi Shimon says no, even if it's metaltalin, even if you left over cash and no land, that itself is enough to be considered a dinar, which would allow the first wife's yarshim to collect the ksubis banan dichrin. Right, that is the number two suggestion of what the machlokas is about. Says the Gemara, mimatzes amrit hachi. Can you really suggest that Rabbi Shimon holds that even if it is metaltalin, that would be good enough? He says explicitly against that. Where? You don't have to look too far. It's the next mission on the bottom of the Amud. V'hatnan, Rabbi Shimon Omer, afilu yesham nechasim she'ela machrayis. Even if you have metaltalin, nechasim that don't have security, einam klum, ach yesham nechasim she'ela machrayis. Until you have karka more than yeser al beis ksubos dinar. So he's a mefurish. You can't say Rabbi Shimon is the one that holds even metaltalin. Right? He says mefurish in the next mishnah that only karka is what is considered Yerusha. Again, even though Yerusha applies to all, but the stability and the security of the Chazal's Takana of Ksubas Banan Dichrin, they instituted that only when there's a certain level, a certain standard of Yerusha that is given over. And that's Dinar Karka. So the Gemara says you can't say that's the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. So Gemara says, Ella, try number three. Hacha b'dinar mishabdi kamiflagi. Maybe the machlokas is whether there is a dinar of mishubadim. Mishubadim. The kark is mishubin. We'll have to see what that means. Mar savar, b'nei chorin in mishabdi lo. Some say it has to be b'nei chorin, but not from mishubadim. Umar savar, afilu mishabdi. And others say no, even from mishubadim, possibly that would be good enough. So which direction is it mishubid here? Like, what's mishubid? Right, there are two choices that you could say, and the Rishonim discussed both of them. Are we talking about a case where there are properties outside, the children don't have properties, but they're gonna collect, they're creditors, the children are creditors, the father was a creditor, and they're gonna collect Mishubadim from outside. Is that what the Machlokas is about? Whether that's considered property, dinar, leftover? That's one way you might say it, that it's Mishubadim that's going to go to the Yarshim, or is it exactly the opposite? Similar to like the story we started off with today. It's theirs now, but it's earmarked for someone else. It's Mishubadim in the other direction. Right? Mishabdi, is that good enough or not? And they're two very different issues. The Meiri quotes both of these days, right? Which way? Rashi is not 100% clear what he thinks. But this is the question, what exactly, in which direction is it Mishubadim? And each one has a Chiddush. You just have to explain which direction. Let's talk about each one for a second. So if you say it's Mishubadim that the Yarshim don't have now, if it's the Yarshim don't have, meaning it's properties that other people have, but it's earmarked for the Yarshim, is that good enough to be considered a dinar for Karka so that Ksubas Banan Dichrin applies? So what's the chiddushit in that way to say that it is a dinar? Because we know, we're going to have soon, that Yerusha, let's say for example a Bechor does not get a double portion by Ra'ui, only by Muchsak. Something that's going to come to him, he doesn't get a double portion. Only what he has already. So here, is it possible to say that it's called a dinar that they have, even if, let's say for technical Hichlus Yerusha, it would not be considered theirs for a Bechor getting Pishnayim? Says the Meiri, yes. Because here we're talking about a Drabbanan, what Chazal instituted, what they need left. So it could be that even if technically it's not belonging to the Arshim, that's good enough for the Ksubas Banan Dichrin, for it to be collected. That's the Meiri right here. The El Efshar Shemilve, Afal Pi She'inyin, Shela'inyin Bechor Nidonis Karaui. Even though regarding a Bar Bechor getting a double portion, it's not called the Yarshims yet. Hoel ube ba'al dina kime muchsak l'daitenu v'chulu apazu dina kime muchsak. Sometimes you find it's muchsak in a sense, so then here too it would be good enough. What issue is the Meiri circling? The main issue? Shibudim. How do you look at shibudim? When I lend you money, and now I have a lien on your property, it is connected to me. It is there for me to, it's not a mashkon. A mashkon is a more serious kinyan, where I take something of yours as a security, and I hold it. There the Gemara says, Baal Chov Kona Mashkon. That's a Gemara at the first parak in Kiddushin. Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. How? What does that mean? Din of Reb Yitzchak. Baal Chov is Kona Mashkon. That I have it in a sense, and in the Yiddish parlance, whenever this sugi is done, in der Mashkon Lichter Chov. That's the Lashon that's used by the Achronim. That the Mashkon, and to say it in English, the Mashkon is a physical embodiment of the Chov. So, that's Mashkon. What about if it's not Mashkon? I lent you money, I'm not holding anything of yours. But in Halacha, your property is lien to me, is connected to me, is earmarked for me. Maybe not a specific property, but all your property. So, how is that viewed in Halacha Shibudim? That's what the Meiri is trying to say here. That might be called, enough to be called dinar for Ksuvas Banan Dekren to kick in. But Lundus-wise, this is not explicit in the Gemara. Mashkon is explicit in the Gemara. Ba'achov kona mashkon. What about Shibudim? So that's Mefurish in the Rishonim. But it's not in the Gemara. How much is that connected? The language of the Ritva, Kedushin Yud Gimel, is Miksas Kinyin. That's the most clear formulation that we have in the Rishonim. Shibudim is a Miksas Kinyin. It's somewhat connected to me already, even though you owe me money. And if you pay me back, so then you could remove the Miksas Kinyin that I have on it. But until you pay me, it is considered Miksas Kinyin on the Shibudim. Other Rishonim don't say that, right? This might goof and be the Machlokes, Shibudim Daraisa, Shibudim Lav Daraisa. Whether the concept of Shibudim, that all your property, Karka, Metaltalin, it's all Meshubah to me, Midaraisa. And Midarabana, we say only the Karka and not the Metaltalin. And if you say Shubah Dalab Daraisa, it's all not Shubah Daraisa, and we bumped up the Karka. But either way, this is the discussion in the Achronim. If it's Miksas Kinyan or not. Nafkaminas, what about Mechila? If I want to be Mochel a Shibud, you don't have to pay me back, right? We discussed a few days ago the din of Rabbeinu Tam about mocher shtarchov lechavero umachlo. So how easy is it to be mochel? So if I say it's a mixas kinyan, it's got to be pretty serious how that mechila works. If I don't, no, it's just connected to me. I don't really have a kinyan in it. Then it would be easier. We mentioned a pre-Moshe a couple of days ago. See, here's another one. Pre-Moshe in his sefer on kinyanim. The other one was in the sefer on Shavuos Mamon, where we discussed Shavuos. So this is on Begeder Din Shibud. He has in Simen Nun Zayin. So he discusses, you know, this issue, whether it is called a Miksas Kinyan or not. When is the Shibud Chal? Mao Geder Shibud. Din Evakolava, and he goes into Shibud Nachasim, Shibud Aguf, as we discussed earlier. But again, this is many issues that are brought up here. You can look in Simen Nun Zayin. But that is the issue that the Meiri brings up here. The other possibility of understanding our Gemara is the other way, where the Yarshim have property. They have property. It's in their Rishus. But they have creditors against them. So is that enough? So here, it's the other way. So if according to the one who says that they have it, it's called dinar that they have, that's the more Pashut Shita. The Chiddush is saying in the opposite direction, that it wouldn't be called theirs, even though they have it right now. But again, those are the two possibilities that the Gemara here has regarding Meshubadim. Okay, let's continue. So that's the Machlokes, whether items that are Meshubad are enough to be considered the Moser Dinar and allow, the Ksubas allow to be considered Nachla Yerusha Daraisa, and to allow the Dindarabanan of Ksubas Banan Dekhrin to kick in. Ihachi says the Gemara. So you're telling me that's the Machlokes, and the Tanakama holds that it is only with Bnei Chorin, and Rabbi Shimon says even from Meshubadim. So Rabbi Shimon is Mekel. So Ihachi, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Im Yesha Moser Dinar, Kivan Shi Yesha Moser Dinar Miboile. If Rabbi Shimon is being Mekel, Im Yesh sounds like a Lashon of Chumrah. Like Tanakama says one cheat, and Rabbi Shimon says no, only if, .. If Reb Shimon is being the more expansive, lenient opinion, then he should say the Lashon of Kivan, not Im Yesh. The Tanakhama says a limited idea, and Reb Shimon says, no, since this is true, so then it's allowed. Since there are Meshubadim, that's good enough. But so if you want to say the Reb Shimon is being Mako, the language doesn't work out. So the Gemara says, okay, let's go to a fourth possibility. What's the Machlokas about? Right, what do we suggest so far? Achas Bachayev, Achas Bamoso, number one. Number two, what about only Karka or even Metaltalin? Number three, only Bnei Chorin or even Meshubadim? Number four, possibility, what's the Machlokas about? Ella Bipachos Midinar Kamiflagi. Maybe the machlokas is, there is Yerusha, but you don't have a dinar. It's less than a dinar. So is that good enough? When the Chacham say dinar, is that literal? Mar savar dinar in pachas bi dinar lo. First opinion says, only dinar, not less than a dinar. Umar savar, afilu pachas bi dinar, even less than a dinar would be allowed. Says the Gemara, v'har Reb Shimon dinar kamar. Reb Shimon's lashon is dinar. You want to say Reb Shimon's the one that says less than a dinar? But look in the Brisa. The Brisa says Reb Shimon's lashon. Im yesha moser dinar. They both use the lashon of dinar. Right? So the, why, if you're going to say Reb Shimon is mekel, that's not true. V'chi tema efach. And if you want to say switch, what does efach usually mean in this type of context? Switch the shitos. Switch the shitos. Flip them. That's not what it means here. Rashi explains. Efach here means switch our understanding of the Braisa. Right? What was the first lashon, the first case of the Tanakama? Man married a woman. She dies. He marries her again. And then he dies. What does the language, what does the Tanakama say? Her children come and take Subas Iman. So we've understood that to mean till now, the children of the second wife. So that's what Efach here means. Flip that. That means the children of the first wife. Meaning the Tanakama is the one that's Mekel. The Tanakama says that even if there is not a dinar, because the Tanakama here in the Brisa does not use the Lashon of dinar, the Tanakama is the one being Mekel. As long as there is something, even less than a dinar, they could come and take their Ksuas Banan Dichrin. That's the language of the Tanakama of the Brisa. And Reb Shimon says, no, only if there's a dinar. So he's being Machmir, so everything works. He uses a Machmir Lashon, he uses the Lashon of Dinar, so V'chi Tema Efach, if you want to say, flip it, and the Tanakama is Lakula. So, Tanakama the Masi Zanami Dinar Ka'amar. Still a problem. Why? Because we'd rather say there are only two Shitas out there in the Tanoim, not three. You need a Dinar, or you don't need a Dinar. And let's assume that Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah and Rabbi Shimon in the Braisa line up. So therefore, the Tanakamas in the Mishnah and the Braisa also line up. So you're right, the language, the Braisa, the Tanakama does not use the word dinar. But in the Mishnah, the Tanakama uses the word dinar, right? The Mishnah coming up in a couple of lines from now. The Tanakama says, Hayasha Moser dinar. So Mistama, the Tanakama, the Braisa, the Tanakama, the Mishnah, the same Shita. So everybody says you need a dinar. So even if you flip it, it's more difficult. So Gemara says, Ella, you're right. Ella ki hanach trei lishnoi kamoi ve'efach. Okay, flip it like we said, meaning the elu ban v'notzlin refers to the yarshim of the first one, but go back to one of the earlier answers, meaning the mishubadim answer or the karka metaltalin answer. So go back to one of those answers, and then it's okay. So the Tanakama is Meiko, Rabbi Shimon is Machmir, and that's why he uses the lashon of im yesh, because that's the lashon of chumrah. And it is okay because we flip the understanding of our Brisa. Okay, that is the discussion of that Brisa and the Machlokes Tanon. What was the Havamina that even less than a dinar would be okay? We end up saying that nobody holds that way. What was the Havamina? Less than a dinar is never considered mamon. You're right, we're talking about on a Durabanan level. But how could you say that even on a Durabana level, we would say that is good enough? So the Ritva and the Rishim and Kubetzas here discuss, sometimes you find flexibility in this type of idea. Meaning what happens, says the Ritva, if the property, let's say this property is worth less than a dinar, but it's next to my property. It's next to my previously owned property. So it's worth more to me than it is objectively. Like we discussed earlier, a few months ago, Dina de Bar Mitzra. What's Bar Mitzvah? The Gemara in the Bar Mitzvah and the last Rambam in Hilchas Shechinim. The Rambam says, according to the Gemara, if you're going to sell a piece of land, you have to first offer it to your neighbor. Why? Because it's worth more to him. So now he can expand his property. So the Ritva says maybe that's what's going on here. That even if it's objectively worth less than a dinar, but maybe one of the brothers could say, well, it's right next to my other land. So to me, it's worth a dinar. So maybe that would be good enough. So it's not only pachas b'dinar, number one. Number two, you might say sometimes, even if something is not worth a dinar here, it's worth a dinar somewhere else. And who says that, you know, what it's worth here is what determines, right? The Rambam writes, based on the Gemara, by marriage. Let's say I give a woman less than a pruta. Less than a pruta. So is that vaday no good? We know you have to use at least a pruta, according to what we paskin. Or do we say the four words? Shema shave pruta b'madai. It's not worth the pruta here, but maybe it's worth the pruta there. So, you know, maybe that would change things. And then there's a discussion. Do you have to get it to Madai? What if I gave the woman fruit that's worth less than a pruta? But in Madai, it's worth a pruta. So, does it have to last? Does it have to be an item that's not going to get rotted until it gets to Madai? Or the fact that it's worth something in Madai means, here too, it is worth something. So again, there is flexibility in various areas of halacha, in terms of taking something that's not worth so much and saying, well, to me, it's worth more. Or, if somewhere else it's worth that, so therefore it's good enough here. Right? We know that Gemara talks about Geneva. Geneva, you only chayev v'heshev v'sakzela only if there is a pruta. What if I steal less than a pruta? So the Rambam says that's also daraisa by Geneva, not by gzela. We're not going to get into that difference right now. But is that just because of chatzi shir? That's what the Magen Mishnah says. Or is it that, no, less than a pruta is still worth something of value. Maybe it's, you know, to other people it's worth more. So again, you have this idea, and elsewhere the Gemara says that Geneva for the Sheva Mitzvos Noach can be even less than a pruta. They're not mochal less than a Sheva pruta. But that is the Havamina. We'll have the Gemara can even suggest it, but Lamaskana we say it is no good. Everybody agrees that you need a dinar. Okay, middle of the Amud. Amar Marzutra Mishmei Derav Papa Hilchasa Achas B'Chaya V'Achas B'Moso Yesh Lam Tuas B'Nedichrin. So we paskin the Tuas B'Nedichrin is even if one wife predeceases the husband and one wife dies after. Uksuba nasin mosa l'chaverta. And the ksuba, paying off the ksuba to one of the mothers, is fine. That's counted as the dinar. You don't need another dinar besides that. So Bishlama asked the Gemara, why did Marzutra, Mishpei Derav Papa, have to say both of these statements? Right? Maybe if you only would have said one, I would have understood the other. Bishlama, Yashminan achas l'chay v'achas b'moso. Yesh lehen ksubas b'nedichrin, if you'd have only said the first one. V'lo ashmi'inan ksuba nasas moso l'chaverta, then I would have still not known. Hava mina i'ika moser dinar ini lolo. Right? The first statement doesn't tell me anything about the second statement. So that's why you had to also say the second statement, tell me that's the halacha. But the other way, as the Gemara, might have not been true. Why don't we just say that the halacha is the ksuba can count as mosel chaverta? Obviously, what's that case talking about? Ksuba nasa mosel chaverta means if there's one mother that's getting her ksuba, meaning she died after the husband died. And we're talking about a case of mosel chaverta that's ksuba nedichrin, meaning one wife died before the husband died. So just saying that we paskin ksuba nasa mosel chaverta already would tell us that there is bun and dichrin in a case of achas b'chay v'achas b'moso. So in that direction, va'anoya dana would have known. Mishum da'achas b'chay v'achas b'moso yeshlam ksuba bun and dichrin. So why do you have to say statement number one, just Rav Papa? Why don't you just say statement number two, and I would have known statement number one. Is obviously, you're talking about a ksuba, you're talking about ksuba's bana different. So if you have those two, it must be one died before, one died after. Right? If they both died before, there wouldn't be a ksuba to talk about. If they both died after, there's no ksuba's bana different to talk about. So the Gemara says, no. Iyashminan hachi. If you'd have only had that second statement, I still might have come up with a limit. Hava amina. This was the case. Kigon shenasa shlosh shalosh nashim. Really, he was married to three women. Umesu shtayim b'chaya v'achas b'moso. Two of them died before he died. So they're both getting ksubas b'nei dichrin, and one died after him, she's getting ksuba. V'ach demayis l'achar misa, yoledes nekevahi. And the one that died after he died, there were no boys. There were only daughters. V'la bas yerushihi. And she's not a bas yerusha on a daraisa level. So maybe I would have limited it only in that case. We would discuss whether the ksuba can be nasa mosa l'chaverta. And achas b'chay v'achas b'moso, we wouldn't know. Avalah b'chay v'achas b'moso, v'hada l'achar miso yoleda zachar hi, ema lechaz l'insuye. I wouldn't have known that if there's yerusha to be discussed by both children of a mother who died before her, him, and after him, I wouldn't have known that. I would have thought, no, that's going to cause problems. That's going to cause fights. Right? What's the case I might have limited it to? Where certain children are coming as Yerusha, certain children are coming only as getting the ksuba of their mother, but if they would also be coming as Yarshim, maybe that would be too much fighting there, and therefore we wouldn't institute it. Kamash Mulan, that's why you have to say it beferish. That Achaz B'chai, Achaz B'moso does get ksubis, but in dichrin, in all cases. Good. Just two points about the mitzvah of Yerusha, which we're talking about here. of the Ksubas Banadichrin. We mentioned yesterday again the rush, the 2 days in the rush, whether Bizman Hazek, Ksubas Banadichrin applies. But the Mitzvah of Yerusha is just one detail in the Mitzvah of Yerusha, which is important. You read the detail, like, okay, fine. You don't think it's so exciting. But that is a crucial detail in terms of determining the author of the Sefer HaChinuch. Mitzvah 400, Mitzvah Tuf. Right? The Chinuch we know is an anonymous work. One of the most used Sefer HaMitzvahs. It's the most popular because it goes by Parsha and it has Hashkafa in it. Very smooth Lashon, written in a beautiful way. And the Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah 400, Mitzvah Tuf, has Dinei Nachlus, the Mitzvah of Yerusha, which we have mentioned in the past might be one of only two mitzvahs that a person could only perform after they die. What other mitzvah can there be? Maybe Puravu, because a person only, if he has children, who produce a boy and a girl, and he predeceases his children, so that's where you fulfill the mitzvah ultimately then, number one. Number two might be Yerusha. It's a question. Is Yerusha fulfilled as a person dies, after a person dies? It's a question in the poskim. But the Chinuch has Dinei Nachlus and goes through all the different details of Yerushas. There is a major machlokes in Maseches Baba Basra, and he weighs in on it, and it's exactly against the Shita. It's a very emotional machlokes. All the Rishonim scream about it. And the Ra'ah has exactly against what the Sefer HaChinuch says. And most assume, the earlier Achronim, the Shach, others assume that the author of the Chinuch was the Ra'ah. So how could you have this really strong machlok unless he was Chozer Bo? We'd rather not say that. So that's why scholars assume that the Chinuch might have been written by the Ra'ah's brother. It was that time period. We know it was that time period. The time period of the Rashba, that generation. Right? Because the Ritva quotes the Ra'ah as one of his Rebbe, he quotes the Pinchas Halevi, the brother of the Ra'ah. So we know it's that generation. We don't know exactly who it was. So some scholars bring this chinuch as a raya that it wasn't the ra'ah. Because the detail is, if somebody says, ha'omer l'misha roi l'yarsho, nechasai l'cha v'achrecha l'hektish, if somebody says to somebody, while they're alive, I'm giving you this property, and after it's yours, it should go to hektish. But, and then the manchil died, the question is, after the nochel, the guy who gave it to dies, does it go to Hektish because the Manchil mentioned that before he even gave it to the Nochel? Or do you say no? Once the Nochel gets it, it's his. The Manchil doesn't have the rights to change where it's going to go after it goes to where it's supposed to go, the Nochel. Right? Ain't Adam Maktish, Davar Sheh, that's not going to be his in the future. That's a machlokes. And the Sefer HaChinuch says, Shahayorei Zoche ben Achasim, V'yishlo l'mochram v'lasos ben kol chefzes nafsho, V'ein koach v'hektish l'olam, lo tziyam yad lokeach. Hektish has no rights to this. Right? V'havi kemaktish nichse acherim. It's like you're maktish somebody else's property. So what that is yours right now? If it's going to go to a certain Yorish, so then you are not allowed to do, it's gonna go to you! If I wanna be maktish something today, I can be maktish it today. That's fine. But what if I say, no, it's gonna go to you! And after it goes to you, then it'll go to Hektish. So that's where the Sefer HaChinuch says, no way, it doesn't. And if you look in the Ra'ah, in Shuvis, in the discussions in Baba Basra, so they say, no, it goes to Hektish. Goes to Hektish, a person can do this, he has the power to do this, because right now it's Be'odah to be Maktish, so you can be Maktish it then too. It's like Maktish L'Acher L'Amid Yom. So this is one of the Rayas that they bring in terms of Yerusha. There are a lot of discussions to have in Yerusha. Machlokas Rambam and the Ramban, whether you count Yerusha as one or two mitzvahs, the Rambam counts one mitzvah, the Ramban counts three mitzvahs. Three mitzvahs. How do you get three mitzvahs in Yerusha? One mitzvah is Yerusha. The Ramban counts two others. Giving a double portion to the Bechor is a separate mitzvah daraisa, according to the Ramban, and the Losa say, not violating that halacha, not giving to the Bechor. That's a Losa say. 2 out of the 613, the Ramban says, is related to the Bechor. And the mitzvah of Yerusha that everybody counts. That's one machlokas. There's a chakira. Rabbi Chanan has a chakira in Chelik Beis, Simin Yud Beis. He talks about how Yerusha works. Is it really the manchil giving it to the nochel, or is it the nochel stepping into the shoes of the manchil? Right, two different formulations. And he says you might even be machalik between sons and all other yershim. There are differences in halacha between sons and all other yarshim. There's a fascinating case. The Rebbe Chanan talks about this case. It's in the Gemara, Baba Basra Kuf Mem Beis. What happens if a person dies and his wife is pregnant at the time? I was pregnant at the time. So is a Yoresh, is an Ubar Yoresh? That's a question in Kuf Mem Beis. That's a machlokes, whether there's Zechiah le'Ubar or not. What happens if there's a Ger? A Ger dies, and he left a pregnant wife, meaning there's no other relatives. So what's that? Lach, the Gemara says, Kol HaKodem Zacha. Okay, whoever gets it. She died. Now the woman, there's no children, so he gets it. But if there's a son, the Gemara says, if there's a son born 2 weeks later, he could be motzi it min hazochim, even though he didn't get it at the time. So it's tamua. Ask Rabbi Elchanan. Devada ein hazochim l'mafreya, ela mikano l'haba, ki min da'ad achshav lo haya bar zechiyah. He wasn't a bar zechiyah till now, so why? Once the son's born 2 weeks later, could he then take it from the people who already zochet to it? Says Rabbi Elchanan, and why dafka a son? Says Rabbi Elchanan, because everybody else, all other Yarshim, would get it, but Toras, it travels from the Morish, the one giving it to the Yorish. But his son steps into his father's shoes. So while he's in utero, he can't step into his father's shoes. But once he's born, then he'll step into his father's shoes. Says Rabbi Elchanan, let's say Tchias HaMesim occurred. Let's say Eliyahu Navi was here and he did Tchias HaMesim. 2 days later, you're going to tell me that the man can't get his stuff back? That's not so clear. But that's his lashon. You're going to tell, of course he can get his stuff back. So this son is stepping into his father's shoes, so he's going to get his stuff back. That line, Rabbi Elchanan wasn't so long ago, but the later, the more contemporary Achronim talk about that line of the Rabbi Elchanan. Is that really true? What, by Tchias HaMesim in the future? Everybody's going to go back on all of their properties? Or just specifically here? He's not saying in general. He's saying mamish the next day. The next day. Right, he says, Harikilu aviv chai, ubevada shim hames yakum l'tchia, yikachas v'chasa v'chalmachem sheyimsoim. But Shar Yarshim wouldn't do that. That Rabbi Chanan is a porn for the difference between a son and other Yarshim, and also for Tchias HaMesim. Right, we discussed this a couple months ago, I think. Comes up the fascinating discussion in Kiddushin. Right? Eishes Eliyahu, the Chidot discusses. Was Eisa, what happens by Tchias HaMesim? Is, what, if a man has Tchias HaMesim, if he comes, right, they say, Reb Zera and Rabba, by the Purim Suda. Right, when, right, come Rabba Shach to the Reb Zera. When Reb Zera died, what happened to his wife? Did he have to marry his wife again? All the great discussions of the Achronim. And, did he have to, what about, if there was, he had a brother, and Yibum, was there an Isser, Eishazach, that was Parach, was he dead, and they came alive? So that's this type of discussion. Eishes Eliyahu, right? Is she allowed to marry anybody? Is she an aguna? Right? Eishes Chanoch, right? Chanoch was just taken by Hashem. Okay, let's continue. Says the Mishnah: Mi shaya nasi shnei nashim v'meisu. A man's married to two wives, and they both die. Biakach meisu. Regular case: the two wives die, and then he dies. V'somim v'vakshim ksubas iman, and v'somim want the mother's suba the nedunya. Vein shem elosh shnei ksubos. Cholkin b'shove, as we said, if there's no moser dinar, there is no ksubas ban indichrin. Ha yisham moser dinar, if there's a dinar, elo no look ksubas iman, vein no look ksubas iman. Right, ksubas ban indichrin, you have to learn the fourth parak and the tenth parak in order to get the whole picture of ksubas ban indichrin. Im amru, what if there's not enough, but they say, im amru, yisomim, anachnu ma'alim al nichsi avinu yafed dinar, kadei shiyit lo ksubas iman. You know what? The yarshim that have the big ksubas ban indichrin say, you know what? We're going to throw a dinar into the pot. We're going to throw it into the pot, so it'll be, oh, there's a dinar, so we're going to get it. Says the Mishnah, too late. Ain't shomalem. You don't listen to them. If the father didn't have it when he died, you can't give it afterwards. El ha-shamen as ha-nechasim bezdin. No, the nechasim are nishma in bezdin. As the language of the Tosas Rid is, first white line of the Tosas Rid, Misha'a shemesa vihen, at the second that the father died, zachu sheyischalku ha-nechasim b'shave kefi golgolosam. The children with the smaller the father dies without an extra dinar, so that is why you can't try to change it. Can't try to change it afterwards. Good. The Shimon Kubetzis discusses what if the Bnei Ketana, you know, are mochel? Could they be mochel? Is that good enough for ksubas ban indichrin? They'll say, yeah, it's fine. We understand what the reason for the takana was. So that's a question whether they can be mochel. Ha yisham nechasim baroi. If there are properties that are ra'ui, einon kibam muchzak. Right? It's not considered muchzak regarding what? regarding Pashas, the extra dinar. Right, and this relates to the sugi that we discussed earlier. That's why the machlokas had to understand that gemara. Rabbi Shimon Omer, affiliation nachasim she'en la machrayas, in emklu mashir nachasim she'ish la machrayas, yoser al she'ak subas dinar. As we said, you have to have karka. The Rush says, ksubas banadichran is only collected, you only collect the karka. But here we're talking about what has to be left over for nachala. That's the machlokas, Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakhama. Tana Rabbanan, Lazu Elef, Lazu Chamesh Beyos. One has Ksubas on the Dechran of 1,000. One has 500. Im Yesha Moser Dinar, Elu Nuluk Sabasiman, Beinu Nuluk Sabasiman, Vim Lav Yechalku Beshaveh. Right, you have to have left over, even if it's a big difference. Shin Mukubetzes wonders, what's the Chiddush? What, the Mishnah said this exact halacha. Right, what do you mean? That, oh, we needed numbers. We needed an example. So the Shimon Kubetz is unbelievable. He says, no, you might have said that you know when Ksubas Ban and Dichrin applies only if they're each getting exactly the same amount. And the only difference is the number of children. This one has 10 children, this one has 5 children. So that's the Ksubas Ban and Dichrin, you split exactly each of their Ksubas, so each child's going to get something different, but maybe it still at least looks like a real Yerusha, because they're each getting the same. So that's the Chiddush of the Gemara. No, Ksubas Ban HaDichron is if there are different amounts in the Ksubas Ban HaDichron. Forget the number of the children. So that was the Havamina, says the Shita. Says the Gemara, Pshita, Merubim, and Ismatu, Kfar Zachu, Mena Yarshim. If at the time that the father died, there was an extra dinar, and then property values went down, and they lost it, and now there's no. Already the Yarshim of the bigger Ksubas Ban HaDichron, they get it, and you still do Ksubas Ban HaDichron. Mu'atim, and Isra'abu Mai. What about the opposite? What if things evaluated, appreciated by itself. Tashma, the next thing to bay bar tzirtzur mu'atim in his rabu havi. That's what happened. Vosla kamedir of Amram. Amar lehu, zilu paisenu. Rav Amram says, go be mefayas them. Meaning, they have a schus. They have a schus to collect their ksubas ban hadichron. Lo ashkechu, they didn't listen. The Bnei Akhtana didn't want to let go. They said, no, we don't think that's true. Amar lehu, ilo mafaisisu lehu, if you don't give it to them, mechina lehu besilva de lo mabadama, I'm going to hit you with a thorn that doesn't draw out blood. Meaning, not a physical hit, I'm going to excommunicate you. Meaning, if you don't listen to this halacha, I'm going to put you in chayrim. Shaduna lakamidur of Nachman, the Bnei Akhtana still weren't happy, so they asked another opinion, which is a shayla, how are you allowed to do this once you get a psak? But they did it. Amar Lahen, and Rav Nachman answers, maybe he didn't know that the earlier psak was given, maybe he was his Rebbe. Amar Lahen, Kishem, Shemerubim and Ismatu, Zachu, Behen Yarshim, just like in the case where you had enough at the time, the Yarshim were Zoche, Kach Muatim and Israbu, Zachu Ben Yarshim. So to the other way, Zachu Ben Yarshim. What does that mean, Zachu Ben Yarshim? Machlokas Rashi Tosis. So it's not even clear in the Gemara whether Rav Nachman is arguing on the previous psak of Rav Amram, or he's saying the same thing. Rashi says, he's arguing. Rashi on top. Zochem and Yarshay Ksuba HaKetana. Right? The Ketana said, no, I don't care if it's, even though in the first case, right, Rav Amram said that the Yarshay Gedola get it, because now it was Nisrabu, and Rav Nachman says, no, it goes by the Shas Misa. That's how Rashi understands the Gemara. Tosfos argues. Tosfos goes to the opposite. Just like the Yarshay Gedola are Zoche in the first case, so to the Yarshay Gedola are Zoche in the second case. And you go by, Lamaisa, is there a dinar? Either Shas Misa or later on. Okay, Simon Aleph Umeya, Mitzvah Biksuba, Yaakov Zakov, Sadosav Bidvarim Asikin. So that's the Simon that we read, and now we have stories. See how far we get today. Hu Gavra, first one. Hu Gavra Davi Maski Be'al Fazuze. There was somebody that was owed 1,000 zuz. Maski Bey, I'm sorry, he owed 1,000 zuz. Havid Thay Treapadne, he had 2 palaces. He owed 1,000 zuz, he had 2 palaces. Zavinu Chada v'chamesh me'a, v'chada v'chamesh me'a. And he had sold the 2 palaces, each for 500, and he has nothing left. He's a lover, they're mishubadim, but he sold these 2 palaces. Pashas is, machlokas we shown him, but let's go with the opinion that he sold it to the same person. Sold it to the same lokeach. Also, Balchov, Tarfa, Lachad Minayu. So the Balchov comes, he was owed earlier, he goes to the Lukuchos, he takes back one of the palaces. He says, sorry, I'm an earlier creditor, and therefore I get it. So he took one for 500. Hoder, Katarf, Lidach, and he's about to go take the other one, because he's owed 1,000. He's about to take the other one. Shokal Alfa Zuze Vikaza Lagabe. The Lokeach wants to hold on to this other palace. So he goes to this creditor and says, wait a minute, he goes with 1,000 zuz. He says, Amalai, Ishav l'chafa zuzay l'chayi. If you keep that first palace and have it considered 1,000 for you, fine, we'll call it even. Ve'ilo, but if not, if you really want the other one, then tough. Shakel alfa zuzi v'stalik. Take this 1,000 in cash and give me back my palace. Right? I want to keep these palaces. So he said to the, Baal Chov, he says, you're not taking this one. Either take 1,000 in cash or keep that one that you bought for 500 and consider it as if it's 1,000. So, is he allowed to do that? Sava, Rabbi Barachama Lameimar, Hainu Masnisan. Rabbi Barachama says, wait, that's like our Mishnah. What does our Mishnah say? The Yesomim want to make something worth more than it really is. And the Mishnah says, you're not allowed to do that. Imamri Yesomim, Harianu Malan, Onechse Avinu Yafed Dinar. Right, remember the Yesomim, it was too late, but they wanted to say, oh no, we'll throw in a dinar, we'll make it worth more. And the Mishnah says, you can't do that. Says Rabbi Barachama, isn't that similar to this case? That the lokeach wants to make it worth more. If it's worth, and you see it doesn't work. Amalei Rava, and therefore the lokeach shouldn't be able to say that. Right, so Amalei Rava, midami, Rava says, no, you can't compare the cases. Hasam, in our Mishnah, islu pseida liyasmi. Read this pseida to the yarshim of the ksuba ktana. That's why we won't allow it. Hacham, isle pseida, over here, is the Baal Chov losing anything? No. Alpha yov, alpha shakel. If he wants to take the money, he'll take the money. See, he's not losing anything. If he wants to keep the palace, he'll keep the palace. So therefore, it should be good, says Rava. Just one more line. V'tirfa v'kama kasvinan. The tirfa means when you have a buyer who took something from a Baal Chov, and then he got it taken it away from him by the Baal Chov, we write him a shtar that allows him to go back to the lender to get paid. So how much are we going to write here? Let's say he keeps the palace for 1,000. So are we going to write him one for 500 or for 1,000? He bought it for 500, but then he accepted it for 1,000. So Ravina Amar Be'ilfa, Rav Avira Amar B'chamesh Me'ah, V'hilchza B'chamesh Me'ah. Okay, Machlokas, how much it is written for. So that's a Machlokas, whether Rami, between Rami B'cham and Rava, whether the Lokeach is allowed to do this. Tosva says that there is an anonymous Machlokas in Baba Metzia Kuf Yud, but everybody says that Machlokas is the same Machlokas here. What's the machlokas? Whether a buyer is allowed to tell a creditor, take money instead. Or do they have to give the property that they took from the Baal Chov? Right? So that they bought from the Baal Chov. So that sounds like the machlokas here. Tosaf says, you know, might not have to say that, but that sounds like the machlokas here. Whether a buyer of a land, and the Baal Chov comes and says, hey, come give it to me, because I had rights on it first, whether they could just give them money. That's a machlokas amaram there, anonymous. Tosva says, regil and lafarish, that's this machlokas, Rami Rachama and Rava here as well. Okay, let's leave that for now. We won't do the second half of that tosis. One more story, let's try to get in. Hahuka avar davi maski beimei azuze. Again, he owed 100 zuz. Havili tre katini da'ara. Same story. He had two little pieces of land. Chad zavinu b'chamshin, v'chad b'chamshin. He sold each for 50. Asa b'alchov tarfa l'chad minayu. Hadar asa v'kadrav l'idach. The Baal Chov took one. He was going to take another one. Shakal kuf zuzi. And he says the same thing. He takes 100 zuz v'ka'aza l'gabe. He goes to the Baal Chov. Yomerle. Ish avi l'cha kuf zuzi. If you will consider that what you already got is 100, l'chayi, we'll call it even. V'ilo. And if not, shakal kuf zuzi v'istalik. You know, take this 100 and give me back that land. So Rav Yosef l'meimar hayna masi yisun imamu yisum v'chulu. Rav Yosef thought it should not be able to be done. Amalei abaya midami. Just different players for the same tainus. Hasim is lupsei de liasmi. Hacham I pseide islei. Mea yovu mea shokil. He took 100, he's getting 100. How much is the shtar that you write so you can go back to the original lender? Ravina Amar b'meya, Rav Avira Amar b'chamshin, v'hilchasa b'chamshin. It goes back to chamshin. The Ritva notes here, the guy doesn't have any stuff anyway, the Lovis. Why are you writing a tirpa for? So you can say, when he gets. I have a shtar, so for when you get property, I am going to get it. Okay, you know what? We'll stop here. Tomorrow's Amud Beis is short, even though there's a ton to say on it. But we'll stop here by Ugavra, and we will continue with Yevamot Tzadik Beis, about 3 weeks left to Ktubis. Yevamot Tzadik Beis on tomorrow's daf, okay? We'll stop.